Guys, Andy Daly is back with an all-new season of Review on Comedy Central. If you didn't watch the first season, it's an amazing show. Andy's character, Forrest McNeil, reviewed some unusual things last year, like road rage and eating 45 pancakes. This season, he's reviewing more normal stuff, like being buried alive. You can catch Review on Thursdays at 10, 9 Central, and also on the Comedy Central app. Today's episode is also being brought to you by Squarespace. You guys, Squarespace, as you know by now, is the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. It features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer support. And now you can try Squarespace at squarespace.com and enter offer code CRACKED at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful.
You used to call me on my cell phone, late night when you need me. Call me on my cell phone, late night when you need my love. And I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing. I know when that hotline bling.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to another episode of the Cracked Podcast. My name's Jack O'Brien. I'm the editor-in-chief of Cracked, and you're listening to Hotline Bling, the new track off Drake's SoundCloud Rampage, I guess is what we're calling it, partially in response to a Meek Mill diss track, partially ramping up for an upcoming album, I think. I'll talk a little bit more about the thematic fits of the three songs on this week's episode at the end in the footnotes section. But this week's episode, we're talking about an age-old question that has been pondered by great philosophers like the movie What Women Want, namely, what's it like to be a woman? We figured we'd catch up to one of these fascinating creatures that make up half of all human life and get a sense of what makes them tick, you know? No, this was going to be a part of last week's episode about the way the criminal justice system is bad at its job, and specifically bad when it comes to protecting and telling non-white males what to do. And this week's episode will start with how laws and rules affect the way the world looks to women and move on to how surprisingly different and how many ways that bleeds into everyday life. But you could think of this as part two in our series about how laws and social customs made up by white dudes are bad at protecting not white dudes. We build us a one-size-fits-all white dudes system. Anyways, we'll talk about the Cosby case, the fact that there were 14 women who came out and said Bill Cosby drugged and sexually assaulted me 10 years ago, 10 years before Hannibal Buress said anything. And as great as it is that we're finally giving the victims a voice, what message does that send to other victims that it's not true until a man repeats exactly what you've said and summarizes it for us? That's like some petty schoolyard shit where you like ignore someone who's talking to you. Like, do you guys hear that? I don't hear anything. Must be the wind. Except someone who's in the in crowd is like, wait, you guys, I think they said that Bill Cosby raped them. And only then are we like, wait, what'd you say? Other male in our boys-only club? We had no idea and are now outraged. Men are surprisingly catty little children when you really think deeply about it. We'll talk a little bit about my theoretical explanation for sexism in the outro, but back to the Cosby thing, it sets a clear assumption that men can treat women like shit without repercussions. And we're going to cover some surprising ways that changes the everyday reality of women. And I'll actually mention a plot thread from the final season of Mad Men. And I think I believed that most of this stuff went away with the end of Mad Men and the advent of strong women in the workplace with shoulder pads I saw in 80s movies. But There was another scene in the final season of Mad Men I wish I had mentioned instead, where a woman gets a diagnosis from her doctor. I won't say specifically who, so no spoilers, but a woman gets a diagnosis from her doctor that's essentially a death sentence, but the doctor delivers it to her husband because it's a serious conversation between men, I guess. And it was called out as like a surreal, amazing detail of how weird history was by some of my favorite TV critics, but I actually had that happened to me. My wife had like a thing with her eardrum that was causing her a lot of pain and throwing her equilibrium off, so I don't always accompany her on doctor's visits, but I went with her to this overnight clinic, and the doctor checked her ear out and then turned to me and started explaining what he saw and what he thought about my wife's ear. And my wife was responding to him to make sure he understood, no, I can hear you, it's just a pain thing, and, you know, you can talk to me because, you know, my wife is a doctor and was the only other person in the room who could understand what the fuck that guy was talking about. My functional knowledge of human anatomy is strong enough to get, like, a Mr. Potato Head in the right general shape, but that's about it. Anyways, that didn't even seem that crazy to me at the time, and then I saw it in Mad Men. I was like, oh yeah, remember that, honey? Anyways, we're gonna speak with Dani Fernandez, who is a female stand-up, and it would be easy to assume that this is just an unpoliced haven of sexism because it's the entertainment industry, but I listened to this interview with women from industries with HR departments, and they were not at all surprised or remotely skeptical of anything they heard, and nodded in recognition and could bring up examples from their own lives, and were a little taken aback by how surprised I was. But as we'll mention, having my head up my ass about the everyday realities taking place around me is an underrated luxury I didn't realize other types of people didn't have. Anyways, hope you enjoy the conversation. I will be back at the end for some footnotes. Talk to you then. Ever since I left the city, you and me, we just don't get along. You made me feel like I did you wrong. Going places where you don't belong. Ever since I left the city, you got exactly what you asked for. Running out of pages in your passport. Hanging with some girls I've never seen before. You used to call me on my cell phone. I'm joined by Adam Todd Brown, the head of our columnist section, the host of Unpops Opinions, the sister podcast. How's it going, Adam?
Sister podcast.
The sister podcast.
I like that. Yeah.
No, the brother. You're the...
I like sister.
Yeah, sister.
Feminine.
Sister.
So yeah. Such a feminine podcast, yeah. I have.
No, I want to be the feminist podcast.
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
And we're joined by Dani Fernandez.
Hello.
Who,
thank you for having me.
Like Adam, is a stand-up comic.
Yay, high five.
Yay.
Oh, actually, we've done a show together. You had me on your show.
Yeah, and you've been on my podcast a bunch.
Twice.
Yes. That's what really matters.
Yeah. And in this episode about crime, we're talking about crimes against stand-up comedians.
No. Specifically.
Yeah. Yeah. Where stand-ups fit inside the justice system.
Crimes committed by stand-up comedians.
Yeah.
That would, most of them, I feel like,
go. Yeah.
Unreported.
Yeah, that we could actually talk about.
So this episode has been about basically how just historically shitty the justice system has been at getting the right guilty person. Like, a few things we discussed earlier made me realize, like, oh, the rational thing to do would be to murder someone if you thought they might hurt you or just whatever, because nobody was going to catch you. Like, it was impossible to be caught before the advent of photography. Like, all you had is eyewitness testimony before glasses had been invented. But then when you look at sort of the improvements we've added to the mix, they're also extremely fallible. And that doesn't even mention the sort of systemic things that aren't necessarily directly related to the justice system that make it kind of hard for victims of crimes to come forward, or easy for people to kind of skate without anybody realizing that. And I know that's something that you guys had talked about recently on Unpops opidges.
Yeah, we talked about that. I feel like the internet is also partly to blame for victims not coming forward, because when they do come forward, then we are attacked, especially now with technology. They find out where you live, where you work. I don't feel like safe even when you do come forward. It's I think right. Maybe some people weigh their options and don't think that it's worth it.
Yeah, there's this word Gamergate that is used for a situation where a female, like, I forget specifically what she said, but was just full on attacked by, like,
yeah,
the gaming community for really insane things. And I guess a lot of the misogyny and not trusting the word of people who aren't white males that I've seen on the internet makes me wonder how terrible it was behind the scenes all those years, like in the past. And, you know, Jason in one of his emails had brought up the fact that Bill Cosby had just, like, gotten away with these horrifying crimes for so long, and the victims of the crimes didn't officially accuse him, or did, and, you know, I don't know all the specific details, but it's like there's so many things systemically that make it hard to come forward and be taken seriously when it's a male and when they are powerful and, you know, have good standing.
And that's something we did talk about just on the last podcast with another, like, a similar situation with a comic named Jen Kirkman, where she came forward and all she basically said was that there's a comic out there. She called him a known perv. She said he's basically Cosby.
Which one?
Yeah. And then she said he's basically a French filmmaker who does new material every year. And that only describes one person.
Right.
But for some reason, when people started speculating on who she was talking about, people thought that was irresponsible or something. Like, that's what should have happened however many decades ago with the Cosby thing. Had someone come out and broken the story then, maybe there wouldn't be 40 women on the cover of that magazine now who all had to accuse Cosby. Like, we're going to wait another 20 years and then maybe we'll find out everything Louis C.K. Everything that famous Boston comic was up to.
Right.
I was going to say, but the thing
it's
is...
Stephen Wright.
Carrot Top.
The thing is, though, is that some of those women did come forward. It's just they weren't taken seriously.
Right, exactly. And that's what I mean.
They're accusing the lovable dad that everyone loves, sitcom dad, you know? And it wasn't until basically more men, and one man in particular that we know, Hannibal, who, like we said in the other podcast, has been doing that joke about Cosby for a long time.
Forever.
But it wasn't until men kind of started coming forward and saying, oh, well, you know, that's actually true, that then the women were taken more seriously.
Did you, as a female comic, like, was that pretty well known to you, the Cosby story, before Hannibal Buress kind of started telling that joke?
I don't think that I knew. I don't run the same circles as Cosby.
Oh, really?
So I don't think that...
You don't kick it with the cause? Oh, you should come by.
I mean, I watched That's So Raven growing up, but... Yeah.
It might be worth just kind of going through, because I think people, including myself, have, like, a vague awareness that, like, there were some accusations, but I guess I don't know the specific details. Do you guys know, like, there were accusations, like, official allegations made?
You mean about Cosby?
About Cosby, yeah.
Just a couple weeks ago, they released a deposition that I think was, like, 10 years old. And in that, he basically admitted to obtaining Quaaludes, which, where did he find the time machine to go back and find Quaaludes?
Right.
But obtaining Quaaludes for the purpose of drugging women so he could have sex with them.
Yeah, that's a specific plot point in Wolf of Wall Street, that they take the last Quaalude and, like, Cosby somehow procured them for his rapey means.
That's where they all went. That's why there was only one left. Cosby ran through them all.
There's all sorts of weird stuff about just things that he did and said in his act, Spanish Fly, which I had always heard a vague term used for aphrodisiacs, but he seemed to be implying that it was something you, like, knocked women out with.
And yeah.
Then, yeah.
It's almost weird. Like, I would almost be interested to have, like, a therapist or a psychiatrist or something on or speak with them, because a lot of these men that are rich and powerful, it's like they could easily have women sleeping with them.
Yeah, it's weird. We were discussing a pitch today on our editorial meeting about sex addiction, and we had interviewed different sex addicts, and the thing they said is that they would have sex with whatever was available and willing. Like, there were just times when they had to have sex.
Oh.
And, like, it didn't matter what. So, like, David Duchovny is a famous case of somebody who's, like, a sex addict that we're just like, oh, he's a guy who likes to have sex. You know, like, that's how people think of that term. but he was actually getting prostitutes and stuff, even though he's this famous guy. Like, that show Californication portrays it as he goes around and just meets pretty women and they fall to the floor and start having sex. But, like, he was just, like, this famous actor whose face is known by everyone, was, like, driving around getting prostitutes because he, like, needed to have sex at certain
like
point.
Hugh Grant, when he cheated on, was it Elizabeth Banks?
Hurley.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I don't want to make this too much about...
Oh, yeah, sorry. How I'm changing this to prostitutes and hookers.
The poor famous men of this world who are sexually addicted. But I guess the thing that the internet has been really good for is making things visible that were previously under wraps. I don't necessarily believe that it's like changing our behavior. I think we've always been narcissists who would have loved to have Facebook pages, and it just so happened that someone invented Facebook, so now we have to see everybody do that. And, you know, that's something with police shootings that has been shocking to, I think, a lot of white people, that, like, oh my God, the cops really are horrifying. But another thing that has come out is that there's more, I guess, sexual assault, and women's accusations are taken less seriously than I would have thought, I guess, prior to the internet.
I wrote about this in my most recent column. What I think what people mistake for too much political correctness is actually the internet just catching up to people saying shitty things, the same way it eventually caught up to, you know, there's just certain things you can't hide on the internet. That's why there's so many police beating videos now, because we have the ability to video something and upload it to the internet immediately. We didn't always have that ability. Women probably always hated rape jokes, but they just didn't have the means to get that opinion out on such a wide scale. Right. So it's not that things are changing. The only thing that's changing is technology.
And the technology to kind of look back at, like you said, a deposition or things like that, and pull that forward of something that somebody famous might have said or hinted at, that we can now be like, oh yeah, see, back then he was talking about doing this really rapey, creepy thing, and only now are we taking it seriously. But we have always had that available to us. It just, technology makes it easier to search and find.
Yeah, the idea that it's a man's world is like a cool thing for James Brown or whoever to say in a song. But I never got the security risk, or like how terrifying it would be to be a woman when it's a man's world, in the sense of like, she's probably being crazy, or, you know, if someone like makes a complaint or feels scared for their safety. Or one example, like sort of the police shooting equivalent video for like what it's like to be a woman, was the girl who just walked around New York and was like just harassed by men constantly. Yeah. Like, I just didn't know that that was a thing.
And even then, even after that video came forward, there were still people like, she wanted that, she was, look at what she was wearing, well, look
you
at how
be
she
flattered.
Looks exactly. I hate guys that come up to me at the gym. Like, I'll be running on a treadmill and there'll be a whole open row of treadmills and someone has to come right next to me, and that's like one of my pet peeves. And this guy was like, kept trying to talk to me, and his reasoning was, why would you be working out unless you wanted me to hit on you?
Right, that's what you were
and
there
I was
for.
Like, what the fuck? Maybe it's because I give a shit
Maybe
about
you're
my
trying
health
to lower
and
your
body.
Cholesterol.
Yeah,
you're just out there advertising to that guy.
And it was like, well, why are you wearing this tank top? You want me to work out in like a park? I mean, seriously, that is the mentality, I feel like, with some men. Not all men, but some men, especially the comments. God, if you read the comments on that video.
Is that something, like, I guess the idea that you have to get people to believe you, and sometimes men might not take you seriously if you say that someone's being a creep like that? Is that a message that you learned, like, early on as a female?
You mean letting them know?
Yeah, I guess letting them know, or just that's like sort of the way things are.
I honestly didn't realize, this is gonna sound really bad, I didn't even realize until I moved to LA just how creepy guys are. Because I was in college in Austin, and I'm sure that this happens there, but everyone was pretty much my age. We were all kind of cool and just really laid back. And then I moved to LA, and I know the video was in New York, right? And I feel like for some reason, like, these cities are attracting like Austin's a bad example because their whole motto is keep Austin weird. But I think it was just because I was around like other college students and stuff that just weren't desperately creepy. Maybe they were having sex on a regular basis. You know, also on Facebook, I think that's probably when I realized guys were really creepy, was through Facebook, like the amount of inbox messages that I would get. And another thing about Facebook, it's different than just Twitter. Twitter a lot of times is anonymous. Facebook has their first and last name. Right. So most of the time I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Your mom is on here. I saw a girl once, a guy wrote something like, hey, wouldn't you love me to come on your face or something like that. And she posted it on her thing and he begged her to take it down. Her response was something like, wow, you're friends with your mom on here or something. And people like messaged his mom about it. And it's just as like, but that's the thing. He was only sorry because he got caught. And I bet there's guys listening that are like, she shouldn't have done that. She shouldn't have, that's not cool. It's not fucking cool to randomly message someone about coming on their face.
I think that most people listening hopefully would understand that that is an unacceptable way to behave towards another human being. So it's awesome that she took that screen cap and like embarrassed him. I heard about one woman, I think on NPR, who was being harassed and like found out it was like a 12-year-old boy and then like talked to his mom.
Yeah.
Like, contacted his mom. Yeah. And they like sat him down. But like, is there some reason or is there an idea that like you won't be taken seriously? Or does the thought that guys would be like, oh, she shouldn't have done that, is that like in the back of your mind when like people are doing these unacceptable things that keeps you from trying to stop it?
Partly, because I feel like people are going to think that either one, you're doing it for attention, or two, that they can't then approach you. And that's really difficult, especially if you're single. The only way to get these guys to kind of stop doing this is if I post, or to make them be held accountable is if I post it. And then, yeah, and then they'll suddenly stop. And it's not only stopping them from sending it to you, hopefully it's stopping them from sending it to other women, because I doubt that you're the only woman that they're doing this to. But yeah, I do feel like at times I don't want to share it because it's like, one, I'm not trustworthy. I'm sharing my private messages. I'm screenshotting things. So then you're known for, you know, how many of your friends, guy friends, or even guys that are interested in talking to you that aren't creeps are going to message you because now they're afraid. I have had guys tell me like, oh, I don't want to be like those perv guys that message you. And people in like other comics, other people that I would be interested in.
Right.
So, or working with or something like that, because now I'm seen as not trustworthy.
I trust you, Danny.
Thank you.
No problem.
When someone like mistreats you off the internet, is your thought process, okay, I could go to the cops? Or the thing that my dad would always say anytime anyone did something, is like, oh, you go to the cops or you go to the authorities. And like, I feel like that's an easy thing to say.
Yeah.
And like think as a white man, dad. but you know, I wonder if the thought process for like what the justice system's there for and like how much it can help you is different for women.
Well, yes. In real life, this is probably different from maybe other people that are listening. I feel like because I do stand up, that I did have several instances. This was when I was a little bit newer. I used to work the door at the Ice House Comedy Club, and everyone there is great. But there were comics at times that I feel like would take advantage of the fact that they were older and more experienced than me. And one in particular that I know, he would come over and kind of, not like harass me at the door, but it's almost like I'm working for him in that instance because it's his show. So then that kind of puts, you know, and he would give me like, I would always hug people and just say like, hi. And when he would hug me, he would run his hands down my side. I cannot tell you what that feels like. It is the most violating thing. And I'm sure other women have dealt with this before. When someone touches you, just in that instance of him sliding his hands down my side, and I couldn't take that away. I was so angry the rest of the night. And it just is like, yeah, it's disgusting. But the thing was, did I do anything? No.
Yeah.
I didn't. Because who am I? I work the door. Who is he? Someone a lot bigger than me.
And it's a thing that even as a male comic, I hear about. I hear about comics who are just creepy. You know, comics that if you're a woman, you probably don't want to be like alone in the green room with them. Like you hear stuff like that about other comics. So I think it's a way more prevalent thing than people probably expect.
For me, it's always, especially when you're new or when you're younger or something like that, it's like I'm nervous to tell someone about this because they're probably friends with them, or I saw they were on his show, or they were doing, you know. So yeah, I guess that is something that I, now it's a little bit different because now I just don't give a fuck. But back then I felt like it was like, well, if I go to this person, you know, they might end up being friends with him and that would make my life even more difficult. And I guess that's the same thing kind of what Jen was saying, Kirkman, about how it's difficult to come forward when that person is higher up, because then it almost seems like people don't want to work with you if you're seen as a problem.
I just wonder how much of that extends beyond comedy.
I think comedy, it's probably easier to get away with because there aren't workplace regulations. Like, you can't, as a comic, go to your boss and say, this guy's sexually harassing me, and get him fired. It's like a self-policing thing. Either someone within comedy is going to have to step in and take your side, or you're going to have to like go to the police and prove there was
right.
a crime.
Or it's a police policing thing.
Yeah, and yeah. And then I think it's like any other sexual assault thing where it's just sort of your word against theirs. And it, I can see how in that instance where it's like a really big male comic, where you might just think, they're not going to believe me.
Like, well, too, also, if there's someone that makes those kind of jokes on stage, people are like, yeah, that's that, you know, but he's harmless. You know, like that kind of thing. Oh, he always makes those jokes. You know, he does that thing about his mom, too. Like, you know, and so it doesn't seem like a big deal. But I do feel, I don't want to just have this be about stand-up, because I do feel like women are constantly put in that position where you might be approached in a possibly inappropriate way from your boss or your boss's boss or something like that, and you just can't, there's this feeling that you can't come forward because it will affect your career, like it'll just get out there or to other companies that you're a problem, that you're difficult, that you're too sensitive, things like that.
Yeah, there's that subplot in Mad Men that seemed extremely believable to me, that like they wanted her to go on this business trip with this guy who was her new boss, and he kept sexually harassing her, and so she like went to his boss and they were like, all right, get out of here, lady, like you're causing problems, right?
Even if you were to get them fired, you would still be seen as causing an issue, as causing a problem.
They used to throw women in mental hospitals for stuff like that.
Yeah.
You could just take your wife to a mental hospital for kind of being a bitch.
Yeah, misery was considered a mental illness.
Like, yeah.
You know, even though...
She's too sad.
Yeah. Or it was seen as an excuse to, like, continue that treatment of women or cheat on them or something.
It's interesting. Two of the first serial killers ever are women. This Mary Cotton woman who I just heard about on the podcast Stuff You Missed in History Class, and then Madame Bovary, who is like this horrifying, ghoulish figure who apparently like ate the children in her town and stuff. And when you actually like look at the cases and like what details we actually have, it seems like it's probably just a couple of guys who are like, she's weird.
She doesn't want to sleep with me.
Right. Like, Madame Bovary specifically, all allegations were made by family members who were trying to get the inheritance away from her.
Oh, like, sure, sure.
Yeah. So we're really willing to believe accusations against women, and always have been, but like, you really need to catch Jack the Ripper. He has to write a fucking letter to the newspaper and the police and be like, here's my name.
Same with the Zodiac killer, guys. He was like, hey, this is me. Also, this is my birthday. Hey, this is where I'm going to be. And it's like, oh, now I'll take you, you know, seriously. Whereas women...
There could be a lot more female serial killers, but I think men are just more arrogant about it.
They want to be known.
Yeah, men are the ones who are like firing off letters to newspapers. Maybe the women are just out there killing people calmly and not getting all out of hand about it.
We have like a society.
And that's why we think there's fewer female serial killers. My favorite serial killer getting caught story is BTK.
Yeah.
When he called the police and asked, if I send you a computer disk, will you be able to trace this? And they were like, nah.
Nope.
Of course not.
I feel like you're forgetting the original serial killer, which is Cleopatra.
Oh, was she?
She, yeah. Wasn't she known for like, this is just like urban whatever myth. I thought.
There's urban myths about Cleopatra.
Yeah, didn't she like.
If you say her name three times in the dark.
No, didn't she.
A guy and his girlfriend were in a car.
The youth, men, because she wanted to stay youthful. That there was like that rumor that she would kill young men to stay. Am I the only one that.
I think that's John Wayne Gacy.
No, but I bet that rumor is
was started
out there,
by a man. And was started.
I guarantee it was started by a man. Like everything about
it was an old man that she didn't want to sleep with.
She might have just been a successful female politician, and everyone was just like, "She's a slut, and
she's too beautiful. Yeah, she's drinking
the blood. She uses her feminine wiles to like. She started that war. It was her who fucked that guy.
So my family is. I've talked about this in the other podcast that my family is like hardcore Catholic. They're Latin Catholic and Irish Catholic. So I have the most also the most wine and drinking at our weddings. But I was going to say there's this idea that us women, a certain way that we have to dress at church because we're going to be distracting you guys from God. You won't be able to focus on us. So it's our fault that we're, same thing with like when we're sexually assaulted. It was our fault we were wearing a skirt when it was 102 degrees outside.
There's this archetype of femme fatale that I think basically it's woman as a manipulator and seductress. And when you look at like, yeah, that's what Cleopatra is. She was a powerful woman. And like, as she comes down through history to us, she becomes a femme fatale. Like, I suspect that like in 1,000 years, Hillary Clinton will be in movies where she's like seducing her way around, like, you know, manipulating
she
Bill behind
Bill
the scene.
Clinton to cheat on her.
Right. It's like the crimes that men want to punish and the sort of fears that they have really determine to a large degree like what happens. Like it's like the fucked up insides of like the ruling majority's minds is like projected all across everybody else's world. Like that's how the world gets built. And a lot of men think of women only as seductresses. You know, it's hard for people with that specifically like only male point of view on the world to understand even the concept of sexual assault because they've never been a woman. So they just, they're seeing it from the guy's perspective. Hey guys, riding into this ad break, we're listening to Hello, It's Me, which is a song by the great songwriter and producer Todd Rundgren from, I think, 1972. It's a cool song. I'll talk a little bit about the thematic fit towards the end. Hope you enjoy the song. Hope you enjoy these words from our sponsors, and we'll get back to the conversation in a moment. Look, I'm going to shoot you straight here, guys. Building a website can be tough. Take it from me. I basically built crack.com from the ground up using nothing but sheer willpower, upper arm strength, lower body weakness, and basically a computer program that looks like the one that the 12-year-old girl uses at the end of Jurassic Park, except way less functional and way more Nedry's mocking you and saying, Anyways, that's how I built Cracked, and I don't recommend it, but you don't have to build a website the hard way anymore. Luckily, we've got Squarespace. You've got Squarespace, you lucky sons of guns. Whether you need a website for your business, your portfolio, your blog, name it. Squarespace provides simple, powerful, and beautiful websites that look professionally designed regardless of skill level. So no coding, no heavy lifting required. Your website also scales beautifully to any mobile device. Squarespace gives you 24/7 online support and a beautiful website for only $8 a month. And you can even get a free domain if you buy Squarespace for the year. So what are you waiting for? Seriously, what are you waiting for? Start a trial with no credit card required and start building your website today. And when you do decide to sign up for Squarespace, and you will, make sure to use the offer code CRACKED to get 10% off your first purchase and to show your support for the Cracked Podcast. We thank Squarespace for their support of the Cracked Podcast and remind you, Squarespace, build it beautiful.
I really don't think that they understand what it's like to go through a day. I come across, I feel like, as a bitch. That's what I've heard a lot, that I'm a bitch. But I swear to you, some people, if you give them a green light, they just run with it. Like, if you're nice, it's like, oh, she wants to fuck me. Again, not all, these are the creepy guys. But even, I don't know, I just, now I feel like I'm sounding like a bitch.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about how when you try to let people down nicely or just, I don't know, I feel like I have to be a bitch for people to understand, no, I'm not interested. You know, type of thing for some of these creepy men.
What percentage of your interactions with males do you get the palpable sense that the sort of subtext is them thinking about you in a sexual way?
A lot, like, even when I just, because I was getting gas earlier, and it's like some guy whistled at me, and it's like, oh yeah, well that's common, but why? Why? And why do guys do that ever? Has that ever worked for anyone ever?
Yeah, it's got to be like a numbers thing, but when does it ever work?
No,
when would that ever work?
And when they're driving by, I'm like, am I going to run after you? What the?
Right.
It's a compliment. No, it's fucking obnoxious.
Right. And it puts it in that very specific, you're an object of the male gaze.
I was out with a friend of mine a couple weeks ago, and this guy rides by on a bike. For one thing, he had a bell. And he rings the bell and looks at her and goes, "Wanna ride?" And I'm like, has anyone ever just been like, yeah, and just hopped on back of his stupid bike with the bell and like he went and made it happen? Never.
Right.
You just are making yourself look stupid.
Yeah.
I had this joke about how I really want, like, at a construction zone or something stereotypical like that, when you get whistled at, I just want to turn around and be like, all right, let's see it. Everyone drop their pants. Let me rate you. I'm going to rate all of you right now.
But
like,
you know, there'd be one guy there who's just super confident just, with a big porn cock.
Super like, hung. No, he would be doing porn. He would not be in, he's also in porn.
Might be a writer's strike or something.
Anyways, now it's probably going to come across. See, that's the thing. I can't even complain about that without it coming across. She's conceited. She just thinks guys are hitting on her all the time. But the thing is like how that girl had a cam or whatever as she was walking through New York. And honestly, I feel like any girl could do that. This is just women in general. If we were to walk down the street, somebody is going to whistle. That's what happens. And I know it's just like, oh, well, that's how it is right now. Or that's how it's always been. But it really does feel uncomfortable and unsafe when you're by yourself. And then the argument is, well, you shouldn't be by yourself. Okay, so you can be by yourself, but I can't. I have to have an escort at all times.
Yeah. And if you don't have an escort, like, there's just no guarantee that anything is going to protect you as a woman, I guess, because it's like such a shitty system. I feel like I would, if I was a woman, I would like inherently understand that and just be terrified of like,
yeah, it seems like you'd always kind of be on edge.
Right.
We are. Yeah, we are.
There's a meme on the internet that says, if men could be a woman for a day, and it says, I'd play with my boobs. And then it says, if women could be men for a day, I'd walk at night with headphones in.
Yep. Honestly, there are times when I've gone running, like, with my dog at night, and my mom will flip out. You know, I'll come back in and send her a photo of my dog or something. And she's like, you were running at this out, like, you know, it's seen as our fault. If we're out late at night, if we're by ourselves, if we're leaving the grocery store, we're supposed to have our keys throughout our fingers and stuff ready to stab someone, basically. We're always on edge.
Your
and
hot pink sparkly mace canister.
Our mace. Yeah. I had that in college. I never ended up actually using it, thank God. But,
thank God. That's the first thing I'd want to do if I got a can of mace.
No, I mean, I had to test. You have to test it out, but
Animal
I never. No, just like, this is probably, I did it off my balcony.
The dog looks at you shitting on the street.
I did it off my balcony. I apologize to anyone that was below me. But no, yeah, we're constantly on edge. And I just, I don't know. I also hate the fact that I feel like I'm complaining when I'm just telling the truth.
Yeah.
But that's almost like that's inside of us as well.
I'm sure for good reason you keep being like, and I probably sound terrible. And
because that's how people make me feel when I'm honest about it.
But to me, it just sounds reasonable, and women have so much more courage than I do. Like, just the fact that you do go out of your house at all. Like, I'm a coward, by the way. I should say that up front. So if I had that same situation, if there was like some third sex that was constantly dominating and sexually assaulting males, and like they determined the punishment for those crimes, I would fucking never leave my house. Like,
yeah.
I do wonder how many people are now that one of the most famous people of the 80s is an admitted serial rapist, and there's still nothing happening because of it. That makes it...
Yeah, why is there a statute of limitations on rape? That's crazy. Well, and there's not one on murder, right?
No, I don't think so. Mm-mm. I don't know. I think there's a Tommy Lee Jones movie where they're like, the statute of limitations is running away.
There's a Tommy Lee Jones movie to explain everything.
Yeah, it's terrifying to me. I'm terrified for women. This therapist once said to me, women are so much more realistic than men. Mm-hmm. And you would kind of have to be. You would have to be just aware of the way things are and constantly paying attention. Whereas I had the luxury of going through the first 30 years of my life with my head up my ass, being really absent-minded. Not a thing that women get to do.
Sometimes it's interesting that the times when I have gone out by myself or walked, to my car by myself or something like that, or walked my dog late at night, that I'm like, wow, I've survived this long. It's almost like a, I don't know what video game I'm trying to, just something where there's constantly people coming out at you.
That's a lot of video games.
Double Dragon.
My life is like Double Dragon. Yeah. The thing too is that with these creepy guys and how we were saying that it doesn't, who does that ever work for? I wish that they would just know that, I want to say they don't have to be like that. I feel like guys think that we want something. I wish that movie What Women Want or whatever with Mel Gibson was probably not the best representation to show. But I wish they came out with a real movie that actually showed what we want. Because I feel like some of the men, or at least the ones we're talking about, are super confused and think that that's okay. And even I've seen my friends have shown Tinder messages and stuff that they've got. And Tinder's probably not the best example either. But I feel like guys act that way because they think it's expected.
Yeah, I've never seen that movie, but the one major Hollywood motion picture that we have, What Women Want, we wrote about the fact that three times the woman's first thought when he comes into the room is what a great butt Mel Gibson
has.
Or
his penis.
Sure. Right. It's about Mel Gibson. It's what men,
guys think. Yeah.
Yeah. What men think women are thinking about is
so
the premise of
Mel Gibson
movie.
Didn't nail a movie about what women want.
Yeah. But, and obviously he didn't write that, but it was probably written
by men
with men in the room.
Yeah.
At
there
least.
Would have been way different overtones if he wrote it.
Yeah. One of the three people who wrote it is a male, but just having a male there, you have the male expectation. They say rom-coms are supposed to be chick flicks, but they're written specifically to a male perspective.
I used to watch so many chick flicks.
I mean, there are times in the chick flick where she'll be half naked or coming out of the water or in her bikini, and I'm like, we don't care, let's be realistic. None of us are actually doing that.
Yeah.
More realistic would be my dog and I watching Netflix. You're smiling.
Are there things that your mom taught you? I earlier this year heard in a podcast with two black hosts where they were talking about how every young black man is taught by his parents, you don't go outside dressed a certain way, mm-hmm. In the certain neighborhood. It was this thing that everybody knew, but I was what? I can walk wherever I want. And did your mom specifically say, what are you doing? Never go outside with headphones on after dark?
Yeah, never go running or anything with headphones. But also, this is crazy. I just realized I still do this. Do not make eye contact with the driver next to you if you can tell that they're staring. Yes, so many times. And I feel like there are probably other women that have had this. If there is a truck driver that I can tell is he's kind of eyeing me up and down kind of thing, and I look over there. There are several times I know when my mom, when I was a teenager, even she'd be like, don't look over there, it's disgusting. And it'll be someone who's kind of making has their tongue out or doing something obscene like that. And I still do that to this day. If a guy pulls up and rolls down his window, there's been two times when they've tried to tell me that it was because my tire was flat, but all the other times when I've actually acknowledged them, they have said something obscene or have been, whistling or something like that. I feel
that's happened on multiple occasions.
Yes, I swear to God. I can take my camera. I will have someone periscope this.
I'm just so.
But the thing is that they pull up, they feel the need to roll down their window and say something or make conversation with me. It also is awkward when my window is rolled down and they're trying to talk to me and then I have to roll it up. yeah, you see, I get really heated, but I feel like there are other women, though, that probably know that you can't make, yeah, don't make eye contact. Because then what it'll do is they'll play that game where they're, like, trying to catch their car up to mine kind of thing.
Oh. And Jesus.
Yes, this is a normal day for us. I went to high school in Dallas. I've grown up in like Orange County, San Diego. Like I moved around a lot. I would say LA probably has, unfortunately, has the most instances that I've ever had this happen before. Whereas like it used to be like maybe like once a month. Now I feel it's like once a day that I deal with this. I don't know if it's the fact that the city, there's larger numbers of people. Crime out here, I don't know. But yeah, that's one of them. One of them was not to make, yeah, because that's scary. They do follow you. You know what I do? This is so sad. I actually slam on my brake so that they end up passing me. Like that is a thing that I do.
Like Maverick and Top Gun.
That is what I do when I can't lose them or whatever, I'll normally just slam on my brake. Again, I feel like I need to apologize and be like, this is not how I'm dating a great guy.
Yeah, why are you cooler to those guys who randomly roll down their window and start yelling obscenities at you?
I was the only girl in my family. Like, I have brothers that are amazing. I love them. They're great men. This is true. I have only dated good guys. All my exes are great. Some of them we might not talk anymore, but I think they're great people. I've never dated a creep. So I guess in that instance, I don't know, I was brought up well. Also, too, I mean, not to make this too much about, but my dad was kind of not the best person. He had a lot of affairs and things like that. And I feel like it's the same with like an alcoholic, when your parents are alcoholic, where either you kind of become that, like you seek out people like that or become that way, or you go in the complete opposite. And that's what I did. I went in the complete opposite, where I'm just so in tuned with that type of characteristics of men that are like that.
I can't imagine that it's the majority of men who are that way, but the fact that there are enough of them,
it's prevalent, yeah.
Right, that it's prevalent to you is enough. Like that's crazy to me. And it's like the laws are made by and the system is built by men, and so whatever their conception of the world is and their fears is what the laws and the system is like built to deal with. So it's just like so weird to me that things like that, you're not protected from behavior like that, because you would complain about it and give the license plate number, and then what? They'd probably be like, yeah, but what were you doing? You had your window down.
Yeah. I also want to say too, I think it probably has a little bit to do with my age, because I'm in my 20s, and so I can imagine that this is more of like a prime time for people to kind of like be approaching women that are in their 20s and 30s. Not saying that it doesn't it obviously happens to women that are older and younger, but I feel like maybe it's just because I'm out more and I'm out, like, I don't know why it's so prevalent, but I feel like maybe if I looked like an older church lady, I might not be having these disrespectful men doing that.
It's weird that men behave that way, especially on the internet. Actually, sometimes makes my job running the columnist section more difficult. Because I'll see someone online who they're funny on Twitter. I'll go find their blog, see that they're a good writer. And then I message them, and it's like I have to get through this first layer of, oh yeah, why are you messaging me, you fucking creep?
Yep.
No, it's not that. I want you to write for my website. But mm-hmm. I understand. I get it. And I just, it's like I just have to kind of be patient. And no, just...
Right.
No, I'm not going to hit on you. I just want you to write for the site. Calm down.
The reason that like that's a thing that has to self-police out there is just because there's nothing else.
Yeah, exactly.
There's just no consequences for shitty creep behavior.
Yeah.
And so therefore people have to change the way they communicate with one another. They have to think twice before they roll down their fucking windows. That's such a bummer to me. I'm sorry that happened.
You'll have women that listen to this that will say that they can't also roll down their window without somebody doing that.
Yeah, no, just that thought that has to be a thing that crosses your mind is awful. Haha.
Now that this got really dark. Like I was saying, but
now
you guys are great guys.
On the show.
You guys are great guys. All of my comedy guy friends are amazing, or else I wouldn't be friends with them. Like there's so many, my brothers are amazing. Like I hate putting it that like, yeah, all men, fuck all men. What I'm saying is that, it's just so prevalent that it's just, and it's 2015. Like how is this still a thing? How is it still a thing that they're doing this? And even more, like I said, on Facebook, it has your first and your last name. And it's, I know people are gonna be like, well, why are you adding those people? We have like 20 friends in common, or 30 or 40 or wherever. When I get a friend request, I'm like, all right, well, you're, you know, your friends with so, oh, looks like you're going so-and-so's barbecue. But then in private, for some reason, they say stuff, or they have more power, or they'll say stuff that they wouldn't probably say to you in person.
Yeah, I mean, you keep apologizing for like complaining, but
this is so
I
sad.
Specifically like so brought sad. You on and we're like, hey, so are guys ever total fucking creeps to you in a way that like you don't get to like punish them for within the system? So like I specifically asked you and you feel like you have to apologize for
that's
complaining, which I think is kind of a symptom of the same thing.
Right? Yeah, that is probably something then that maybe I inherited from that my mom taught me or something like that, that I feel like the need to be like, well, actually, you know, and stand up for you guys in some regard. So I'm not the only one, though. I'll get better at it. Now, though, now it's a little bit different, that I feel like if a male comic were to run his hands down my sides the way that that one did, I would probably hit him or slap him or something like that. Like, I wouldn't put up with it anymore.
Right.
I'm also a little bit older, but I wouldn't. Now I'm more, like, if I were to come forward, people would believe me now.
In comedy, you see women getting treated shitty in really weird ways. There was a show I did once. It's at a club that I perform at a lot. I don't think the show is there anymore. But this guy, his lineups would be, there'd be like 10 comics and 6 or 7 of them would be women. So you'd think, oh, great, that's really progressive of him. But then they would all be really, really attractive women. Some of them would be funny, some of them weren't. But what was always constant was he would be backstage, like they'd be on his lap, he's taking pictures, God. Like he's got his arms around him. And I can just imagine this guy's like going home and like doing God knows what with these pictures. And like you can tell that was his aim in booking this show, was just to meet female comics, probably a lot of them who thought, oh, well, this guy can do something for me. He hosts a show. And, you know, a lot of people come to LA thinking that's an important thing when it's really not. They let me host a comedy show like a week after I took a comedy class. Like anyone can do it. But you could tell that's what he was doing. But on the surface, it looks great because it looks like, oh, he's booking so many women. But no, it's like a pedophile becoming a priest. Like he's just trying to increase his opportunities and it's gross.
Right.
And he was also an unfunny hack.
Name names. No. Yeah, I think you're going to see shitty human behavior anywhere it's not being actively regulated.
Yeah.
And it's just not.
I have had guys that have said inappropriate things to me, like message me or something like that. And then when I get upset, they'll be like, oh, you're a comic. Can't you take a joke? I was just joking. Mm-hmm. We get that a lot. And so I did, on that particular occasion, I might have maybe shared what they wrote. And then when they got upset, I was like, wait, can't you take a joke? I thought it was a joke. Can't you don't mind me sharing? Can't you take a joke? I don't know. I don't know how or when it's going to change. I know more women will continue to come forward as they should and hopefully, but it's sad that that's what's stopping those guys from doing it. It's not until they're caught or found out or they know that there's a possibility of it getting shared.
Yeah. But I mean, if it stops them, like I think the important thing that like people can take away who aren't the guys shouting obscenities at you is like that the thing that it takes is to actually take the complaints of women seriously the same way you would if they were anybody else, you know, rather than being like, okay, she's secretly a seductress trying to manipulate things to her advantage. It's like, that's just a thing that was invented for movies made by men.
'Cause y'all suck.
We suck, man.
I think it's super important, and I think the justice system, and I think it's super important too, though, that women are coming forward, and I think it's also their responsibility to, I don't know how to put this. I know that there have been times that accusations have not been true, and I just feel like that's also, and I think I look at that as someone that has brothers. I just feel like we do have both men and women, this is going to come out really wrong, that there's a responsibility, I guess, of the justice system to do their due diligence.
Right.
On both.
There have been false accusations in the past.
And and that's probably what has ruined for women that come forward that are actually have something, you know, legitimate to report. It's like those have almost ruined it in some regard. Not entirely, but...
Like, that's kind of what bothered me about the Jen Kirkman thing. Like, we know who she's talking about. So either it happened or she's not telling the truth. And I don't believe that she's not telling the truth. So why not pursue it from there? Like, once it's out, especially in this climate with all the things that happened with the Cosby thing, why would that wreck her career? I don't think it would. But I feel like just putting it out there and then backing away from it is just reinforcing the fact that, no, you can't say anything about this kind of stuff.
Right.
Like, you can, but once some attention gets drawn to it, you're going to want to not say anything because you'll get in trouble. And I feel like she got mad at Jezebel for doing more harm than good by speculating on it. But I think she's the one who did more harm than good by just really reinforcing the fact that if there's an accusation like this, you cannot say anything about it or it will damage your career.
It's hard putting a ton of responsibility on the victim because, again, the three of us have never been in that position.
Yeah.
But I feel like the reason why, again, that they haven't come forward or might have always come forward, and if it's like, well, why didn't you come forward if that happened? Well, you know, it's because they don't actually think that anything will occur. So I really put more responsibility on the justice system, honestly, to take care, which is
right.
Shit.
Yeah.
Which is shit. But I don't like putting a ton of responsibility on the victim. I mean, I know there's a place to come forward. I just feel like how we said earlier, that when they do, then it's almost like worse because they're attacked or their address is leaked or something like that. Or people will look up their old tweets and be like, well, you also said this racist thing, so you clearly weren't raped by any, you know, it'll be, well, back in 2002, you made a joke about, you know, so their accusations are suddenly not taken seriously.
So you're saying like it should be law enforcement's responsibility, but
to
also
make women feel comfortable coming
right,
forward
absolutely.
And that their statement is going to be taken seriously.
Also a male dominated industry.
Yeah.
Like, yes, there are female cops, but they're female cops who are trying to progress their career inside an industry where everything, all the rules, all the culture is from a male perspective. So I'm not saying it's impossible or hopeless, but I am saying like those are the facts on the ground. And so like I don't blame people for not coming forward because people might not believe you, because historically that has been the case. I understand when people say, I just don't want to be a victim. Like, I don't want that to be the definition of my career is, oh, you're
yeah.
the
yeah.
victim person. I want to be a great comedian. And if that guy happens to masturbate on me, then fuck.
Yeah.
Like that, I don't want to give him the power to define what I become just because of that. But like, that's not saying that that's the way it should be. That's just like, those are the shitty options behind doors number A and B. Like, if you are in sort of the justice system we've built, which is like from a very male perspective. It's just interesting to me that I think we had our cop source for personal experience articles talk about how like they never arrest males who hire prostitutes, but they arrest the prostitute like immediately. And it's like, that doesn't really make sense. But like the Richard Gears of the world don't ever get thrown in jail. It's just femme fatale again. Men,
yeah.
Men hate them femme fatales.
I've just been
seething.
Yeah. No, I mean, I just feel like hopefully this episode definitely helped everyone be more aware of what we go through on a daily basis.
When you were biting your tongue while I was talking, was it because do you have other things that you want to say and feel like you can't say? Or?
I do feel like, yes. I think I told you, Adam, that one time I was called a rape apologist, and it was because, I don't know how to say this without it coming across the wrong way. When I was talking about false accusations and things like that, it's difficult now. It's scary to know, one, that our justice system is the way that it is, and that when women have been seriously raped or injured, sexually assaulted, that they're not taken seriously. And then two, that there are instances of people that have used that to their advantage by accusing men that have cheated on them, you know, that, oh, he beat me or things like that, that I think that's scary. And that's what I meant earlier when I said, well, I have brothers and I have, you know, and it's stuff like that where it's just like, it's a scary time, I guess. Yes, I think guys can be really shitty. Yes, I just went over all the shitty stuff that I deal with on a daily basis, but also there are really good guys in my life. And it scares me that someone could get upset about something and say, well, you know, he did this or that to me and have that be, because that ruins their lives. And I know that's not necessarily what this was about, but yes, that is what I was thinking of in my head. That's what I went to, is like that we also have on the flip side of it, that it could be abused. And granted, those instances are so much smaller compared to the bigger picture, but they do happen, and I've seen them happen. I've had them in my life, or things like that, where I've seen other people using or abusing it to the point where that concerns me as well. So I guess that's playing devil's advocate or whatever, and I'll probably get shit on for it, but that's what I was thinking of in my head, is that I feel like sometimes people do abuse it.
I mean, that certainly does happen. I wonder if those instances get blown up more, like if there's more attention right. paid to that.
Than you know, a woman. That's so true.
Right.
That is really true.
There was a statistic about how the percentage of black on white crime, like violent crime, is like 10% in Los Angeles, but it's 40% of the crimes that get reported on the local news, because they know that that's going to scare right. white people, you know? And I wonder if the same thing doesn't happen with like false accusations and things like that, because they know that's what's going to scare men and also make men feel justified, or, you know, yeah. like, yeah, we're not so bad.
And also a reason why women that have legitimately been harmed, why some of them might not come forward, is because of that. Because guys, again, it's he said, she said sometimes.
One of the things we talked about in the previous conversation is just how shitty our system is at stopping crime. Like, going to jail makes you more likely to commit crime. I feel like it's easy for like rich white males to have criminals on the street because they don't necessarily have to deal with it as much, or at least they're not as in danger or at risk as even a rich white female would be, you know? They're, or at least not as sensitive to the fact that it's scary out there.
I also wanted to say that I feel, aside from me apologizing so much earlier for just being honest about, you know, what goes on in my life, I also feel like I'm so hesitant to even talk about some of these things because of the society that we live in, where I can't even talk about the different sides of the coin without someone being, well, you're a rape apologist. Well, now you're just accusing all men. Well, now you're, you know,
maybe,
you know.
I don't even know what that means, rape apologist.
Yeah. It means, I don't know what it means either.
You're apologizing for rapists?
For some, yeah, yes, yes. Or my just even bringing up the fact that sometimes people have used it in a unfair way, that even me bringing it up is hurting the argument against women, and that I should just keep my mouth shut about that part, because in the end, I just need to constantly be pushing forward for women and never ever bring up the fact that there might have been false accusations at times, which there has been, that I know of personally. So, and that, I think maybe that's why I'm so angered about it, that it was, you know, someone that was cheated on and decided to take that and really ruin someone's life. And maybe that's why it's more personal to me. And so because I stand up for someone, I'm seen as a rape apologist. Right. And the fact that I live in a society where when this goes on the internet, it's like, you know, I can't believe you brought up that point when the whole argument was for women, and me bringing it up is hurting our argument as being trustworthy, you know, individuals. And I hate that we live in a society where I can't bring up that without that type of response.
I don't see how someone can argue that that's like hurting the argument, because those false accusations make the real accusations seem less believable. Why would bringing up that point, I don't get
because
why
a woman
people would be
who,
bothered by that.
Because it was a woman who falsely accused someone.
Yeah.
So then what I'm saying is it opens the door for people to be like, well, see, so these other women that came forward, they could probably also.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyways.
It becomes a political cause rather than a discussion of like a particular event.
Right.
But it has to be a political cause because the system's so fucking broken.
The system is so fucking broken that when accusations are false, they're not found out. And when they are true, they're not taken seriously. And I think that's more the point I'm trying to make, is that our system is so fucking broken. And that's the bigger picture.
And I
that was our conversation. It actually made me just think about, in broad theoretical terms, a question I've had when reading about history. Namely, how did men decide, okay, they're smaller than us, let's pretend like they're evil? It's a really narrow edge that men used to just institutionally oppress the living shit out of people who live in their homes with them and who are actually technically more important to the survival of the species from just like a biological standpoint. That's actually true. As a species, we're designed to have more female babies when food is scarce. Like, the human species has like a in case of emergency mode, and that mode is just have as many female babies as possible because they're carrying that flame forward, in the words of that weird Tommy Lee Jones dream sequence at the end of No Country for Old Men. Anyways, let's talk about the music and why it thematically fit. Hotline Bling, this is a new song dedicated to yet another woman who Drake is scolding, this time for wearing less and going out more after he left town. I saw it compared to the Police song Roxanne in that it's a halting, aching song from the point of view of a guy who doesn't realize that acting like a protective big brother isn't a good look when it's someone you're trying to have a cheap and dirty one-night stand with. And I think that's apt, and I think it's just a good example of an archetype of how men think about women that we shouldn't. We also listened to Hello, It's Me, which is a snapshot of a great songwriter at the height of his powers writing a song that is the 1970s equivalent of a dick pic, I think. The song seems to be trying to break up with a woman because, according to the lyrics, it's important to me that you know you are free, while closing out by saying, I'll come around to see you once in a while, or if I ever need a reason to smile, and spend the night if you think I should. Anyways, in addition to being a great feat of songwriting and just a really wonderful melody, I've always believed this to be a great work of art because it manages to convey to me what the experience of being a woman while a man tries to sleep with you and thinks he's a little more clever than he actually is must feel like. And finally, we're gonna ride out on what I think, on the other hand, is a very honest song about the subject of this week's episode: ways men are douchebags to women and douchebags in general, and, you know, manage to deceive themselves and buy into their own bullshit. Anyways, Kanye West, great artist, self-aware douchebag. Hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll be back next week with more podcast. I will talk to you guys then.
Five pictures in my email. I sent this bitch a picture of my dick. I don't know what it is with females, but I'm not too good at that shit. See, I can have me a good girl and still be addicted to them hood rats. And I just blame everything on you. At least you know that's what I'm good at. And I always find, yeah, I always find, yeah, I always find something wrong. You've been putting up with my shit just way too long. I'm so gifted at finding what I don't like the most. So I think it's time for us to have a toast. Let's have a toast for the douchebags. Let's have a toast for the assholes. Let's have a toast for the scumbags. Every one of them that I know. Let's have a toast for the jerkos. Gotta never take work off. Baby, I got a plan. Run away fast as you can. Run away from the baby. Run away. Run away from the baby. Run away. Let them get crazy. Run away. Did the long plan. Run away as fast as you can. Run away from me, baby. Run away. Run away from me, baby. Run away. None of them get crazy. Why can't she just run away? Baby, I got a plan. Run away as fast as you can.
24/7, 365. Pussy stays on my mind. I did it. Alright, alright, I admit it. Now pick your next move, you can leave or live with it. It could buy a train with that motherfucking top off. Split and go where? Back to wearing knockoffs. High, knock it off. Neiman, shop it off. Let's talk over my ties. Waitress, top it off. Hoes like coaches wanna fly in your Freddy loafers. You can't blame them, they ain't never seen Versace sofas. Every bag, every blouse, every bracelet comes with a price tag, baby, face it. You should leave if you can't accept the basics. Plenty hoes in a baller nigga matrix. Invisibly set, the Rolex is faceless. I'm just young, rich, and tasteless.
Never was much of a romantic. I could never take the intimacy. And I know it did damage. Cause the look in your eyes is killing me. I guess you knew an advantage. Cause you could blame me for everything. And I don't know how I'ma manage if one day you just up and leave. And I always find, yeah, I always find something wrong. You've been putting up with my shit just way too long. I'm so gifted at finding what I don't like the most. So I think it's time for us to have a toast. Let's have a toast for the douchebags. Let's have a toast for the assholes. Let's have a toast for the scumbags. Everyone and them that I know. Let's have a toast for the jerk-offs. Gotta never take work off. Baby, I got a plan. Run away fast as you can.
You guys, I'm psyched to tell you about a new project that I've got coming up, as well as a new, just enormous release from the good people at Earwolf called Howl. It's an app. You can access it on the web at howl.fm, but basically it's an awesome app for listening to podcasts. You can stream and download all Cracked episodes that have been released in the past 6 months. But here's where it gets exciting, you guys. There's a product called Howl Premium. Only costs $4.99 a month. And with it, you get exclusive access to the entire Cracked archive, to all the Earwolf and Wolf Pop archives. This includes episodes older than 6 months. And all those episodes are remastered with no ads, you guys. And really intriguingly, Howl has also partnered with some of your favorite hosts and comedians to develop original content. Brand new shows available only on Howl. Let me see if I can find an example of one of these premium new shows. Good Question with Jack O'Brien. Oh, hey, look at that. That's me, you guys. I have a new podcast in which I tell you who shot JFK in the first episode. Just bang, right off the bat. No big whoop. So that's just one example. I'm excited to see what else they've got in the Howl Premium app. And you can get all this exclusive content both on your phone and your desktop with Howl Premium for only $4.99 per month. And with the promo code CRACKED, you get a full month free trial. So just go to howl.fm and enter offer code CRACKED at checkout. Remember, you can use Howl on your phone, on your computer, but you can only use my promo code on howl.fm, the website. So go to howl.fm, that's howl.fm, and use the promo code CRACKED for 1 month free trial of Howl Premium and listen to my new show. Hey guys. Just a reminder that Review is back with an all-new season on Comedy Central. Andy Daly returns as Forrest McNeil, which, good get on their part, wouldn't have been quite as good without Andy Daly as Forrest McNeil. If you haven't seen season one, it's a TV show in which Andy Daly's character is reviewing life even if it kills him. Last season, his character's life spiraled out of control. He accidentally killed his father-in-law and brought cocaine to a prom, and if you're wondering if it can get any worse for him, yes it can. Review is on Thursdays at 10, 9 central, and on the Comedy Central app. Check it out.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. The wolf dead.